This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
About 2,000 years ago, one of the greatest prophets of Islam, Prophet Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus the son of Mary, was born. And today I want us to reflect a bit on some of the teachings of Isa alayhi salam and some of the lessons that we can learn from it. This is a very important story in our history, and too often it gets glossed over because we tend to use it only as a dawah tool, right? We tend to only bring up the story when we're trying to do dawah to Christians or Jews, but in reality every story in the Quran has lessons for us. Lessons that we can take and we can apply to our lives so we can become better Muslims. So Isa alayhi salam, he was from the tradition of the Israelite prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the time of Yaqub alayhi salam until the time of Isa alayhi salam, he chose for the major prophets to come within this one tribe. And all of them were part of this tribe. And Isa alayhi salam would be the last of the prophets to be sent to that specific tribe. And he came at a time where that tribe had lost all of their political power. The time in which Isa alayhi salam had come, the Romans, which at that time was a pagan empire — when we think of Romans, we think of Christians, but of course that would be after the time of Isa alayhi salam. When he came, the Romans ruled over that land, but they were a pagan empire. They were idol worshippers. And the Jews had lost all of their political power. And they were citizens under Roman leadership. And in their minds, they were hoping and they were wishing that the next prophet that God sends would be a political leader, like Dawood alayhi salam, King David, like Suleiman alayhi salam, King Solomon. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prophets he sent are of two types: those who come with political power, like Dawood and Suleiman and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were prophets who had political power, and then they were prophets who just came and preached, who didn't have any political power, like Lut alayhi salam, and Zakaria, and Yahya, and Isa alayhi salam. And at the time when Isa alayhi salam came, there were already prophets in the community. Zakaria alayhi salam was there, Zakaria son Yahya was there, and they were preaching to this community, and they were teaching the people the Torah. But the difference between Isa and the other prophets that were sent at that time is the difference between a Nabi and a Rasul. A Nabi is someone who receives revelation. A Rasul is someone who comes with a new scripture. And so Zakaria and Yahya were Nabis. They were prophets, but they were preaching the Torah of Musa alayhi salam. They didn't have a new scripture. That was the scripture that people had to follow for all those generations. Isa alayhi salam was a Rasul. He came with a new scripture, the gospel. Now Isa alayhi salam comes at this time where people are expecting a prophet who is going to give them political power. And he comes with a very different type of prophethood, a very different type of message. But before we get into that, just want to clarify one point about who Isa alayhi salam was. One of the issues that people keep bringing up, it sounds like a very minor or a side point, but it's something that a lot of young people ask, and that is, why is the names Isa and Jesus so different? Right? It sounds like a very minor point, but you actually hear non-Muslims saying now that, you're talking about a different prophet. Isa sounds nothing like Jesus. They are two different people. Right? So where does these names come out? Because when it comes to the other biblical prophets, it's easy to see the link. Moses, Musa, they sound the same. Abraham, Ibrahim, they sound the same. Right? Ishaq, Isaac, they sound the same. But Isa and Jesus don't sound the same. They only the middle letter is the same. So are these the same name? Yes, they are the same name. They are the same name, but if you understand the history of letters and the history of words and the history of how the pronunciation of names change over time, then you understand why they ended up sounding so different. So the Prophet Isa alayhi salam, he spoke the language Aramaic, right? In Aramaic, his name would have been Isha, right? which when he gets Arabicized becomes Isa. That's easy, that's simple. Isha becomes Isa, right? The other side, the Hebrew, how would you pronounce Isha in Hebrew? It becomes Ishus, Ishus, right? Now, many people don't know this. The letter J was only invented 500 years ago. So the Prophet's name could not have been Jesus. The letter J was invented 1,500 years after his time. And what you find is when the letter J was invented, many ancient words that either started with an I or a Y, it got changed into a J. So Yaqub becomes Jacob. Yunus becomes Jonah. And Isis becomes Jesus. This is the history of the word. So they both go back to the same word, Isha, right? But in Arab, it gets Arabicized into Isa. It gets, in Hebrew, becomes Isis. And then in English, it eventually becomes Jesus. So they have the same root, they are the same name. It's just in 2,000 years, the way words are pronounced and written and spelled keep changing in different languages, and that's why they end up sounding so different from each other. But the roots are still the same. So that's just to clarify a small doubt that a lot of young people bring up. So this is the Prophet Isa alayhi salam, or Jesus peace be upon him. He comes with a message to his people. Now again, remember, in his time, the people were politically weak, but they also were spiritually corrupt. And this was something that Zachariah and Yahya were trying to fight. And they did not really have the power to fight it, but they just had to keep preaching to their people to follow the Torah. But people had become very spiritually corrupt at that time. They had taken up to money lending and on interest, right? And there was a lot of business dealings that were unethical. And there was mistreatment of parents. And all of the spiritual aspects of following the laws of Allah were missing. So Isa alayhi salam, he comes with a message of returning to the spirit of the law, of returning to the true message of the prophets. It's not just enough to claim to follow the prophets, to claim to be the chosen people. It's not just enough to claim to follow the book. But where is that spirituality? Where is that respect for parents? Where is that honest business dealings? He came to call people back to being righteous, to being good in their character, to having good manners. And that's not what the people wanted to hear. What the people wanted to hear is, we're going to gain political power. We're going to fight the Romans. We're going to take back our land. And Isa alayhi salam had no intention of any of this. His job was there to spiritually purify the people. His message is summarized in Surah Saf in three things, right? Three things he said in Surah Saf. He said, Ya Bani Israel, O children of Israel, Inni Rasulullahi alaykum. I am the messenger of Allah to you. So he immediately claims that he's not just a Nabi, he is a Rasul, which means he's coming with a new scripture, right? The gospel. But what does this new scripture do? It simply serves as a bridge between the past and the future, right? It's a bridge between two messages. What are those two messages? Musaddiqan lima bayna yadayya min at-Tawrah, to testify to what is in the Torah. That his message is testifying, it is reinforcing the message of the Torah. That in reality, there was no difference between the message of Jesus and Moses. And we believe this as Muslims. That there's no difference between the message of Jesus and Moses. That all of the prophets consistently, they preach the same theology, they preach the same message, that you must worship one God and you must obey the messengers. There was no difference. And so he called people back towards the Torah through a new scripture. But this new scripture also was a bridge towards the future. What was that future? وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولِ يَأْتِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ. And to give you good news of a prophet after me known as Ahmad. Now some of the scholars spend a lot of time reflecting why is the word Ahmad used here and not the word Muhammad. Right? This is the only time in the Quran the word Ahmad comes. And we all know Ahmad in this verse refers to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we know that he was known by both names, and both these names have the same meaning and the same root letters. But why is Ahmad used in this verse and not Muhammad? Many different theories have been given by the Mufassirin. My opinion is the reason the word Ahmad is used is because it's closer to the Aramaic than Muhammad. So it's closer to the actual words he would have used in his language. Right? That in the language that Jesus spoke, he wouldn't have used the word Muhammad, he would have used something similar to Ahmad. Right? So to be consistent to what Jesus would have actually said, that version of the word was used. But we know Ahmad and Muhammad both mean the most praised. They both came from the same root letters. They both refer to the same person. He was the bridge. He was there to hold, to get people to hold firm to the message of the prophets until the final prophet arrives. That was his role. Now, we know that Isa alayhi salam came with many miracles. And I'm not going to go into the details about the miracles, because that's what we learned about the most when we know about him. Right? That when we learned about Isa alayhi salam in school, we all learned about the miracles. And yes, we all know the miracles of Isa alayhi salam. That he spoke when he was born. And his birth itself was a miracle. That he had no father. Right? That his mother, Maryam alayhi salam, became pregnant through a miracle. And he spoke when he was born. And by the way, even the Christians don't have this story of him speaking when he was born. This is a miracle that's unique to the Muslim scriptures. That he spoke when he was born. And that he brought the dead back to life. And he healed those who were born blind, and he healed the lepers. Now, what's interesting is the Jews witness all of this. The people, the Bani Israel, they witness all of this. The Romans, some of them would have witnessed this as well. Imagine witnessing these miracles, meeting this prophet, hearing this message, and still rejecting him. It lets you understand that people, if they don't want to believe something, they will make every excuse not to believe it. The truth can be clear in front of their eyes, they'll still find a way to reject it. And that's what happened. Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, came with the clearest of proofs. He came with the most clear of miracles. Right? Miracles that no one else can possibly perform. Only Allah could have sent that kind of miracle to his prophets. Very clear miracle, similar to Musa alayhi salam when he threw the stick and he became a snake. These are the kind of miracles that prove that this person is sent by God. He came with the clearest of miracles. He came with the clearest of messages, consistent with the message of the prophets before him. He was the most righteous person in his community. No one could fault the character of Jesus. Nobody could fault his character. He was the most righteous person in that community. And despite all of this, his people rejected him. His people rejected him to such an extent that some say he had only 12 followers. Right? The 12 disciples of Jesus. He had a very small following. At most, it would have been 20 people. A very small, a handful of people believed in him. And what did the rest of the people do? Because he did not want to be a political leader and revolt against the Romans, ironically, the Jews went to the Roman authorities and they told them that this man is a political leader who is revolting against you. And so we know that the punishment for that would have been crucifixion. But this is where the Muslim version of the story and the Christian version of the story differ. This is where our theology differs. Because in their theology, Jesus was crucified, and we know all of the beliefs that came from that. But the Quran is very clear that they did not crucify him. What happened to him? Allah knows best. There are many different opinions amongst the ulama. Right? The most common one, the most consistent one that Muslims have held throughout the ages is that Allah saved him from the crucifixion, took him to heaven, and that he will return in the end times to fight the Dajjal, to fight the Antichrist. Right? That's the most common one. But there are other theories as well. But what we do know, what the Quran makes very clear, is they did not crucify him. They did not crucify him, and that he will return. And so, it's important for us to know this story. Because number one, the story of Isa alayhi salam is not just a story you bring up when you want to do da'wah to people. Yes, you should bring it up when you're doing da'wah to people, but that's not the only reason. Right? Number two, it is part of our theology. This is part of our aqidah. This is part of our belief as Muslims. We believe in Jesus, peace be upon him. And in his miraculous birth. And in his message that he brought to his people. We believe that he was one of the five greatest prophets of Allah. And we believe that he will return before the end of time as one of the major signs when he will fight and he will defeat the Dajjal. These are beliefs that we need to be firm about, and we need to teach our children, and we need to be clear about. But we also need to understand that in the stories of the Quran, they are always lessons for us. And this is a mistake we make. When we read the stories of the Banu Israel, many of us, the mistake we make is to read these stories and be like, what's up with these Jews? Why are they doing all these wrong things? The purpose of these stories being in the Quran is not for you to think bad about other nations, but for you to reflect and not repeat their mistakes. That's why the stories are in the Quran, right? That you read a story of something that happened 2,000 years ago and you think to yourself, okay, they did this, I shouldn't do it. They made this mistake, I need to make sure I don't make the same mistake they made. This is the purpose of the stories of the Quran, that we reflect and we ensure that we are not repeating the mistakes of those who came before us, because the Prophet ﷺ warned and predicted that this ummah will follow in the footsteps of the Jews and the Christians so much so that if they had to enter a lizard hole, the Muslims would do so too. Meaning that there will be people amongst this ummah who will blindly follow the mistakes of the nations that came before them. How do you protect yourself from falling into this? By studying these stories, by analyzing these stories, by reflecting on these stories, and by taking lessons from these stories. That's how you protect yourself from making the same mistakes that they made. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to benefit from the stories of the Quran. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير حديث حديث محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. After Isa عليه السلام passed away, or after he was taken up, right? After Isa عليه السلام was taken up and he disappeared from his community, and some believe that he had passed away. And all kinds of stories began to come up. Some had claimed that he died and he had risen from the grave. Others claimed that he had just been taken up. Others claimed that he was dead. What happened after that time? After that, a variety of different groups came about with various beliefs about him. You see, the message of Isa alayhi salam was not a message calling on people to worship him. This came much later by other people. And we don't have time to go into the full story, but I highly recommend to go back and study the history of the Trinity to see how this belief evolved over time, because there are lessons we can take from this history. Isa alayhi salam's message was clear and consistent: to worship Allah and to obey the messengers. Completely different from what we see of Christianity today. All of those changes happened after his time. And there's an important lesson that we'll get into about that in a bit. For those who want to go into the story in more details, I highly recommend that you go home, you open the Quran with a translation, and you read the translation of two surahs, Surah Ali Imran and Surah Maryam. If you've never read the translation of these surahs before, go and do so today. Because in these two surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to us the story of Mary and Jesus. It's mentioned twice. Surah Maryam was a Makkan surah. Very powerful Makkah surah. It has some of the best rhythm and poetic rhyming in the Quran. A very early surah. And that's why when the Sahaba went to Abyssinia and they spoke to the Christians of Abyssinia, they recited Surah Maryam to them. This lets you know how early the surah was revealed. Surah Ali Imran was revealed in Medina when Christians came to Medina and they asked the Prophet ﷺ, what do you believe about Jesus? And then this surah was revealed. So the Christians of Abyssinia, they got the message to Surah Maryam. And the Christians that came to Medina, the delegations that came to Medina, the message that was sent to them was to Surah Ali Imran. And if you read these two surahs, you have two narrations of the story of Jesus that emphasize different lessons. And it's worth going and taking the time to read through these two surahs and reflecting on the message. But let's do some reflections now. What lessons can we learn from the life of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him? Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the stories of the Quran are there for us to take lessons from. For us to take lessons from. What are the lessons that we can take from Isa alayhi salam? Number one, our job is simply to make the effort, to try our best. Results are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something we need to be very clear about. The job of every Muslim, whether you are doing da'wah, whether you are teaching, whether you're even just working to earn a halal income, your job is simply to try your best. The results are qadarullah. The results are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your job is simply try your best and leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you see the fruit of your efforts in this world. Sometimes you do not, and you get your reward in the akhirah. And with the prophets of Allah, there were those prophets who gained a large following in this world. And there were those prophets who had no followers in this world at all. And Isa alayhi salam fell somewhere in the middle. Because in his lifetime, he had a handful of followers. And after he passed away, there are many who claim to follow him. But unfortunately, many of them follow a distorted version of what he preached and not what he really preached. So our job is simply to convey the message and to try our best and to do our best and to leave the results to Allah. Results are a part of Qadr. They are a part of destiny. They are something we have no control over. Lesson number two. If people don't want to see the truth, if people don't want to know the truth, if people have closed themselves off to the truth, no matter what evidences or miracles are presented to them, they will find a reason to reject it. The people that Jesus was sent to, they saw the miracles with their own eyes. They saw the most righteous of people amongst them, preaching a message consistent with the prophets that came before him, performing miracles that clearly were sent by Allah. Yet, they still rejected him. And 600 years later, they do the same thing with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most righteous man of his community, who preached a message consistent with the prophets before him, who performed miracles that they witnessed with their own eyes. Yet still, some people chose to reject him because they didn't like what he preached. And that's lesson number three. The truth is often bitter. The truth is often something people don't want to hear, they don't like to hear. And that means when you preach the truth, you might make enemies. You might have people turn against you. People hate you. That's part of the job. That's part of the job. The truth is the truth. You have to speak it regardless of the consequences. That's what Jesus did. That's what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. They spoke the truth. They didn't worry about how people will react because their job was to convey the message. But the final lesson I want to get into, and this is the most important lesson of all to me, is for us to remember and to understand the importance of holding firm to our message of Islam, preserving it, and sticking to orthodoxy and never trying to change Islam. Because what was the mistake that the people who claimed to follow Jesus made? The biggest mistake they made is over and over again throughout history, they kept changing his message. Until what we see today is far away from what he preached. And this got especially bad in the past 100 years. Right? In the past 100 years, there have been so many attempts to change and alter and modify Christianity to make it suitable to the times, to make it suitable to liberalism, to make it more acceptable to atheists, to just make it more acceptable to all forms of immorality. There have been so many changes to the religion that people have started to abandon the religion. And now we're seeing for the first time in history that Christianity is collapsing. Globally, it is collapsing. It is losing followers at a rapid pace. Many countries that were Christian lands 100 years ago are now atheist lands. How did this happen? We have to understand how this happened so we don't repeat the same mistakes. How this happened was they did not take their scripture seriously. They felt they can play around with the religion. They can change things. Even in the news this week, there's news that the Pope is now sanctioning or blessing same-sex relationships. You can't change a religion like that. There's consequences for doing so. And one of the consequences is people stop taking your religion seriously. Because if people can just edit a religion, it can't be from God. If you can just decide, oh, the morality is this, or the morality is that, or oh, God changed his mind, is he no longer immoral? If you can do this, you don't really have a religion. You're making it up. And people can see you making it up. And people will run away. So we as Muslims, we need to take this point very seriously. We are living in a time where there is a lot of pressure on us to do the same thing the Christians did. There is a lot of pressure both internally and externally on Muslims to change their religion, to make some edits, to make things a bit easier. You know, something that's been known to be haram for 1,400 years, now we have people saying, isn't there some way for us to interpret the scripture to say it's halal? Once you start doing that, you are now following in the footsteps of those who corrupted Judaism and Christianity. Moses and Jesus, they were the true prophets of Allah who preached the true message of Allah. Their message was pure, their message was true, their message was consistent with what we follow. People who came after them edited and changed their message, and that's what led to the corruption. Do not fall into that mistake. Do not try to change the morality of Islam. Do not try to change the laws of Islam. Yes, there are some secondary issues, very small secondary issues that change from culture to culture and place to place and circumstance to circumstance, but those are secondary issues. Our beliefs, our morality, halal and haram, these things are very clear in the Quran and the Hadith, and we need to make sure that we do not repeat the mistakes of those who came before us, because we are now moving towards a time where people are realizing, and this is a big dawah opportunity, was people are realizing that Islam is the only religion that's remaining consistent. Islam is the only religion that's not giving in to pressure. Islam is the only religion where people are remaining firm on their beliefs even when the whole world's gone in the opposite direction. And now, that is starting to attract people towards Islam. The people are now starting to say, hold on, if this is the only religion that is consistent in its moral teachings, then maybe there's something to it. So the main lesson I want us to take from the story of Jesus and what happened after his time is that we do not repeat the mistakes of those who claim to follow Jesus. We do not try to change our scripture. We do not try to look for loopholes in the scripture. But we remain firm and consistent upon following the message of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we do so, Islam will triumph in the end. We ask Allah to allow us to follow in the footsteps of the righteous and to understand the Quran and Sunnah properly and to live our lives by it. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين أقم الصلاة